Okay, let's try and pick up wherever you want to start.
Yes. So we were then here together preparing our conversation with you, and we were guided primarily by one statement by Krishnamurti, which I feel everyone should listen carefully to these couple of sentences, because this is sort of the framework to our little conversation. Krishnamurti wrote and said that the unknown is not measurable by the known. Time cannot measure the timeless, the eternal, that immensity which has no beginning and no end. But our minds are bound to the yardstick of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And with that yardstick, we try to inquire into the unknown, to measure that which is not measurable, predictions, and even the activity of predicting itself. The energy field around the whole process of prediction and predicting is somewhat distorting. Some of us are feeling now. That's actually what we feel. And we also came to some sort of, not conclusion, but a thought has emerged that the purity of process, and this is not aimed at you, Cliff, is rather misguided by now, so we think. We are almost at the edge of creating a new paradigm. Perhaps some of us are this new Aquarian radiant zone or super self-organized collective. And so we want to expand and go into the new ways concerning ourselves, also with practical solutions in mind. So one of the questions, maybe the first that we want to put to you is, Cliff, what is the intent in orchestrating the whole process of your reports? That's kind of a big one for us right now. Can you expound a bit on that? End of statement.
I can state that you're quite correct. I understand the Krishnamurti thought process and conclusion, and I agree, especially being a linguist, I find myself swimming in words, so not merely trapped, but surrounded by an ocean. And it's from that that I try and extract meaning. My initial thought in continuing the process that I do with the reports comes down to the idea of a sightseeing throw. This is an Aikido throw that takes 20 years to even grasp and maybe 30 years to be able to master this throw. And it is called sightseeing throw for a very particular reason, and we needn't go into the mechanics of the throw itself. But my idea was that as an individual, I am powerless to confront and contend with the evil that other humans are doing in the name of the powers that be and attempting to promote that old paradigm. Yet it must be contended with as part of its process of dying. And that contention must occur because it assists the individuals themselves in standing up and breaking through the old paradigm into the new paradigm, both those that are doing the contention against the powers that be and those that are within the powers that be that have their evil mindset shattered by the process, and then they can become more human and come along with the rest of us. And my thought was, as in doing my work, that I had reached a conclusion where there was no point to continuing. And universe convinced me otherwise, that it is still within my ability and nature and the need of universe to continue with what I called a sightseeing throw of humanity. And in this idea, what I was going to do was to steal time from the powers that be. And I believe that I'm somewhat successful. In fact, I know I'm successful at some level. I just don't know whether or not that success level is of a size to be meaningful to universe at this point. But the concept is as follows. If I am able to give an accurate prediction, even half of everything I say were to come true and manifest such that people may see it happen, then in making future predictions, they would assume at least half of that would also come true. If I was able to do that consistently and then also feed in that information that comes about the time after the powers that be have collapsed, then in essence I have stolen the paradigm from the powers that be and allowed more people to wake up, if that makes sense. The idea being that if they could see that I was accurate about X, Y, and Z, and then I made a statement about Q, and Q was outside of their thinking, they would give it credence and help in its assistance and completion. Make sense? End of statement.
to me personally makes sense. I totally agree with, I mean, I agree, by which I mean I understand exactly what you're conveying. What is now your feeling about the continuation of your work and its impact now? And because we like the notion of the now, we understood now why you wanted to quit in some way and why you then decided to carry
on.
So how do you now see the impact and the continuation of your work?
I think we need to separate impact and continuation. I think the impact is being felt. In fact, I have some assurances from the model space itself, in which I have to model myself and my own activities just to be able to screen it out from the larger mass of data. I have some suggestions from that part of the process that says that the impact is reaching a certain amount of critical mass. Now, that impact, I believe, will reach its peak likely with this next report. And again, separating impact from continuation, I don't know that they will continue beyond this report. It's a very grueling process. I'm personally very tired of it, although this last report, the one I'm working on right now, has not been as onerous as previous ones and not as energy draining. But nonetheless, it appears, it feels, as though we are reaching a point of both maximum impact and the finality of the process. And even if I decided that there needed to be another report later, say in winter or something, it may not be physically possible because of the changes that are coming and the alteration on, and attacks on the source material that I use here on the internet. So all of this seems to be coming together at the same time. The maximum level of impact, my feeling from universe that perhaps completion is at hand for this process, and then I will be free to move on to something else. Bear in mind, I get bored easily, and I've been doing this for over 15 years. And then also the completion of the process itself, whereby the internet is available to me. I suspect that the predictions that we're making now relative to how the socio-political breakdown will occur here in the United States may be more accurate than previous, and some of those predictions include the interruption of our ability to use the internet the way we do now sometime, and that interruption will begin sometime in early 2010. So all of these things coming together at this particular point may actually, it's perfect. It's beautiful in one particular viewpoint from where I sit, and very elegant, and so it just seems extremely fitting, whereas my previous attempt at stopping the reports where I had reached my goals were obviously not what Universe wanted because of the prompts that I kept getting. And now I think that those prompts are going to fall away as we get into fall and into 2010. End of statement.
Thank you very much. So with this, I believe our small circle of friends here has the answers, the main answers to the very main issue or question that we had. And with this in mind, we can now kind of continue into other lines of inquiries that came from readers, from our zone, and from friends. We have a lot of questions still to come about the practical side of the predictive linguistics. We like to go into such as the solutions on a technological level, new electrics, the new state of consciousness, the Earth changes, which is the one thing we all agree is given, and also an as of yet not known future outside of the radar of any technique. So we are actually, as a small network here, as a small circle of friends here, we are actually not so much interested about what the web bots tell you or us at the moment, right now, today, on this 1st of September. But we're rather interested about our joint, your and our approach to all of this and what actions we wish to take based on what we know. We here, this circle of friends, has, of course, we have all studied your reports. We're very well aware of your tremendous work. And we assume that those who will later listen to our conversations have, of course, read the work. That goes without saying. Without reading this, there's no point in talking about it. Our feeling is also that the refining of ourselves is a mental process. We have been talking about this last time, and some of us have done what we feel goes under that heading of refining ourselves, and we were then reminded yesterday that this is all a mental process, but it is not really consistent with staying with what is, because escaping the what is creates this inner conflict. That's sort of Krishnamurti type school. If we were to prepare ourselves now with this list of questions that we were given, I want to say this as a last remark before going into the actual questions, like any of you radio interviewers were doing them before, then we would really feel like we are stuck in the past. This would then keep us in the known. And our journey is obviously a pathless land, and it is most likely in this sense that we want to continue to talk as we move now into the unknown. So the first series of questions or ideas or I don't know how...
Okay, we can continue. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's cool. Here we're very flexible here too, with little screens and notes and notepads. So Cliff, here's the first line of thought that came from someone who has been editing my book and who has helped me in the past. And this seer, that's really from a seer, came up with this idea of the master of the tarot and the master of the bot tarot as a team, meaning you are the master of the bot tarot and I was, past tense, master of tarot. So it's a nine-pointed question, and I'm trying to summarize this very, very fast now. Does Cliff feel that some of the information from the bots throws a metaphysical light on physical events? If you agree that the bots could be picking up the psyche of man, which is wired into the magnetics of the planet, then is the bot tool also a way for the psyche of man to communicate with itself and avert a disaster? That's the first line of question. End of question.
I would agree that likely that is occurring. That probably is the mechanism by which we're able to do any forecast, in the sense that we're picking up the collective subconscious, the psyche, or however one wishes to phrase it. I'm hesitant to think that my work could be used to prevent or avert a disaster. It would be a nice thought, but I don't know how accurate that might be.
Okay. Could part of the phenomenon the bots pick up be related to John A. Keel's research into the paranormal or the unseen and bizarre, John A. Keel being the author of Operation Trojan Horse? And
yeah, one more interruption.
He coming via someone who was very... who is very in tune with John A. Keel, the author of Mossman Prophecies, Operation Trojan Horse, etc. He just passed away a few weeks ago. And the idea was, could part of the phenomenon of the WebBot project pick up, could this be related to John Keel's research into the paranormal and the unseen and bizarre, the hidden world that sometimes affects our physical world unless we are awake enough to see and change the course? Do the bots then seem to pick up a lot of negativity because they exist to warn us, like a shield to protect, rather than to tell us of a beautiful future? Obviously the goodness does not have to be predicted. It is pure, right, and finds its own way like water flowing to the sea. So the main question coming from this line of thought would be the following: are the bots changing the way we interact with the future? Do they exist indeed to change the way we interact with the future? That's that kind of line of question coming from a seer to you. End of question.
Yeah, I don't know that I could actually answer that, in the sense that means that I must step outside of myself and my process and view it from what universe would want. And all I can say is that trying to anticipate the intent of universe is very difficult. I believe that the question is sound, and I believe that some of the elements of the question are quite accurate. That is to say, I believe that we are indeed changing how we interact with the future. If we wanted to stop and have a discussion about the mundane for a second, we need to understand that The reason that we don't see a predictive future that's all bird singing, sun coming out, and nice things has to do with the way in which I started this work. It was easier for me to assign a value to negative language because there was much more of it to be found. Now, so I just was lazy in that respect, and it was easier to assign negative emotions because they're more easily seen. We, in fact, in our culture here in the West, and particularly in the United States, have this issue of, and particularly with males, have this issue of the inability to express those nice thoughts because they are somehow seen unmale-like and not in the testosterone camp, if you will. So there is just less of it to find. And even when one finds it, it is often shielded and guarded by these inhibitions that are placed on the individual human. Now, I think that it's quite accurate to say that indeed the nature of the work as a whole certainly is tapping into an area that is beyond the predictive set. And let me explain that real quickly. As I get into the detail levels and look at the actual details from which we can forecast, that would appear to be, say, an image from a film, from a video, being shown on a screen. The underlying work, though, that reaches into the archetypes, it is my feeling that the archetypes exist on the other side of the screen upon which the details appear. And so the archetypes exist, and it is the expression of those archetypes that we are seeing on the detail level from which the predictions are made. This is an important distinction, because it allows us then to think about the archetypes themselves existing beyond our ability to reach out and touch them, much in the same way that one takes a pulse at a wrist in order to determine the health of the heart and the circulatory system. But so you're not actually sensing the heart, and you're not actually touching the circulatory system itself, but are in fact looking at an indicator at a more surface level. That's the way I view the nature of the work. End of statement.
Thank you very much. So one more question before I hand the microphone to my friend Kieran, who has a couple of very interesting lines of thought. There was a question, again, a line of thought question, coming from a friend who reads us, who asked, if there is there evidence of people having a greatly increased psychic ability in the very near future, let's say within the next 2 years until 2011? Cliff had been talking about the whole replicator thing, and that got me thinking, is what this man wrote to us. What if instead of technology, we are co-creating reality ourselves so that money or resources have less value in the future? Humans seem to have an innate ability to do things without using technology, unlike, say, certain ETs or aliens. So are we just co-creating reality instantly in the future without any technology? That's the line of question. End of statement.
That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure I can provide anything in the way of a definitive answer, but I can say that there appears in our data an amorphous area that could describe such a situation. However, it could also describe the appearance within our midst of actual devices that would achieve the same thing. So what we're seeing is a future in which the area that I called the new electrics could easily have been redefined under the new psychic ability, so to speak. But basically, the issue comes down to my engineering-bound mind. And in doing the analysis with that mind, I came across the idea from my own personal experience that the following is true. It is possible to use your psychic ability to affect reality, that is to say, manifesting circumstances in matter. I have personally done this, and I know that the effect can be long-lasting and perhaps permanent. But I also know that the amount of energy and the amount of effort in doing so is going to be an issue involved in the manifestation of matter. And let me explain. I had run across a series of experiences and had these experiences that one might say are on the enlightenment path. And if one followed the idea of the nine experiences before nirvana, then I've had perhaps four or five of such experiences. And in the process, I came across the ability to alter my own body with mental thought. I had been suffering a 20-year bout with an incurable skin disease called eczema. And I was able to alter within my consciousness the conditions for the manifesting of that disease condition, and the disease left. But let me be very clear about this. In that process, I went through 30 days of having to apply that energy continuously for 30 days. On every other thought, I had to get in and apply that energy towards the curing of that disease. So it was not this idea of an instantaneous cure where you pass your hand over and as by magic, there it is. This was, in fact, the other way. This was something that had to be worked at. Now, this was done in, I believe, 2001 I did that, or 2002. In any event, I've had no reoccurrence of the condition and have no worries about that condition reoccurring ever again. I have permanently altered the template from which the matter manifests that is in my body. And I know that that template will not revert to that disease condition. But that having been said, let me point out, if one were to attempt to alter the template of the air in front of them on a table such that a full pint of Guinness would appear, you would have to have a considerable amount of energy to first get that pint of Guinness to appear. And then, in order to manifest it continuously, continuous energy would have to be applied. So the idea of co-creation, it makes sense, but you must understand that this is a very structured, orderly universe, and it will not occur by a single thought and thereafter stay. One must work with the templates either through their psychic ability with a considerable amount of physical energy, or one must find some mechanism that would allow that energy to be tapped from universe, cycled back through your thoughts or template-altering software to allow universe to be recreated. And so you would need a device to maintain that level of energy to keep that pint of Guinness there until you could drink it.
If there is a dimensional change ahead or a metamorphosis, would it be detectable in 3D thought patterns? If the jump was so great, it may not be possible to pick up a future that vibrates higher than this one, for want of a better description. It may be off the radar, but beyond polarity or time, for example. Also, the future that we're picking up could be the future of those that do not choose to metamorph, vibrate higher, ascend, evolve, choose the better timelines, however you want to put it. This would chime with what the people, channels or ninth dimensional Pleiadians and others and all sorts of sort of esoteric information coming in, say about higher dimensional beings seeing down, but lower dimensional ones not seeing up. I sort of feel this is an allegorical. You know, the words don't do it justice, but that's all we have. So ergo, in 3D, we cannot reveal higher future realities by this method, as the mindset is that we're mining here is base 3D. So we're seeing particularly darkly. End of question.
I would agree with you. Our work would seem to reinforce this idea that time is basically an element, one of the 66,000 aspects of the manifestation of these individual particles of matter. And it makes sense that we would not be able to see vibrational levels that are higher than us. So we are trapped by the limitations of our mind, which might be easily referenced as, say, 40 frames per second, the amount of frames it takes to make pictures into the appearance of a moving image. And so say that our minds indeed only can work at the 40 frames a second, and it would make sense then that our WebBot technology approach would pick up whatever the manifesting matter is spewing out and not anything on the other side of that. And in that sense, it certainly is limited. Now, beyond that, I have to say that there appears to be discontinuities in that line of thought within the actual data itself that hints at a greater level of vibrational awareness in those that are putting out the data which we pick up. That's a little bit convoluted, but let me restate it another way. Humans are probably antennae that are picking up not only the 40 frames per second image of manifesting matter, but some level beyond that that will vary by individuals. And that some level beyond that sensation for some individuals might cause mental illness that we might classify as, say, schizophrenia, because the 40 frames a second mind and the social infrastructure around that mind do not allow that individual to express or understand what they're feeling in an appropriate way, so it comes out as an inappropriate mental illness in matter here. Now, that understanding as a base, we have to say that there's some hints that indeed there is something very large coming, an emotional shift or vibrational change is indeed forecast within our work, but of course the words don't do it justice. And in fact, we know that there is a level of information that is hidden from us but might be attempting to be expressed, because we get strange word combinations that almost make sense. They're not anything that would usually be seen or heard in discussions, but nonetheless, these multiplicity of seemingly divergent thoughts joined together in our data are almost Zen koan-like, in the sense that there's a feeling that we get from reading them that there's a level of meaning behind them that we just can't quite grasp. So I would agree with that statement, that indeed there is this level of something happening beyond our data, and we can only see so far. And we do have a hint of that. Now, on the other side of that, the idea of a vast vibrational shift that would have some people shift into another timeline and so forth always brings me back to the engineering mind again, where I say, while that indeed may be so, let us not lose sight of the fact that any shift out of 3D matter means death, at least of the 3D body that is left behind, because there's no point in carrying forward into a higher level of vibration a lower level vibratory matter created kind of thing. So in other words, if you're going to go into your ethereal body or any of the energetic bodies above the material world, you're not going to be dragging along this three-dimensional body with its aches and pains and its attachment to 3D material world. So I don't see how one can occur without the other, and people need to understand this, that I've seen a lot of people talk on the internet about ascension and the idea of a vast vibrational shift that will leave some people behind on the planet, and I suggest that all people, in the sense of manifesting corpse, will be left behind, even if the consciousness goes elsewhere. End of statement.